So here we go, accepted in the beloved. Beautiful passage that Brother Daniel just read for us. This, of course, was written to a group of people who had, by the grace of God, had embraced the good news of Jesus in Ephesus, in this city that was given over to the worship of a goddess named Diana. You read about that in Acts 19. And these people had been enshrouded in dark practices like magic. They invoked spiritual powers with very dark practices. And Christ had conquered their hearts and had rescued them by His grace. They'd been brought to love the Lord Jesus and to rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing to them. And by the way, there's nothing better that can happen to somebody. Amen? Nothing better that can happen to somebody, like we just heard about, to be brought to hear that wonderful call, to be brought from darkness, as Brother Andrew spoke to us today, to be brought from darkness to light. So Paul writes to these group of believers, this church in Ephesus, and he's just going to start out this letter by just blowing them away. By blowing them away with blessing upon blessing, wealth upon wealth, riches upon riches that God had given to them. And so I want to look at that tonight and fold some of this evening. We won't get to all of the wonderful details, but I do hope for those of you who God has opened your eyes and brought you to know Christ and to love Him, that we will be able to look at this tonight and say ooh and ah a little bit, that we might be able to look and delight in these incredible riches that God has given in His salvation and rejoice in them and delight in them, but also see some of the great practical value that these wonderful truths of God's saving work towards His people have for us and are meant to shape us and impact us. So Paul pulls back the curtain. He pulls back the curtain and says, look at all that God has done for His people. Look at the riches of God's grace for His people. And I hope that if the Lord has not called you yet, that maybe tonight when we're reading through Ephesians 1, that you might think, man, maybe I'm missing out. Because that is part of the challenge to be a Christian, isn't it? For, Psalm, is it 73? Asaph was envious at the wicked. Every Christian young person struggles with that. Every Christian, everything else age group struggles with that. Maybe I'm missing out. You ever thought that? Maybe I'm missing out. It seems like those out there in the world without the yellow lines that somebody talked about on the road today, those protective lines, the boundaries, maybe those folks really are living the good life. But the reality is this, Christian young person, you are missing out on some things. And praise God you are. And praise God we are. The things out in the world of those who don't walk with Christ, the things that they have that you don't have, praise God you don't have them. And don't go chase them. Like the corpses that Brother Andrew was talking about, looking at those corpses and being drawn to them. But listen, in reality, those without Christ, those apart from Christ, they are the ones who are missing out. And Paul is reminding God's people here of the incredible riches, the grace that God has given. So Christian young person, know this tonight, you are wealthy. You are wealthy and you're intended to know that. You are rich in grace and you're intended to rejoice in that and to absolutely delight in that. And so tonight I hope that God will remind you again, I am not missing out in Christ. In Him I have everything that I need. I'm abundantly and richly blessed. So, accepted in the beloved. That's a wonderful expression. Accepted. Accepted in the beloved. Every person here tonight, at some point in time in their life, probably many times, has had thoughts like this. Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? I'm not even sure I do belong. Probably some of you have felt that today. As you wandered around, do I try to play speed volleyball? I'll probably trip and hit my nose. Do I go over to the snow cone stand? I've been there 4 times. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I hang out with? Not only here, but throughout normal routine of daily life, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Things like, what really makes me important? What really makes me valuable? So maybe some of you have thought, maybe I should really, really focus on my looks this week so that maybe I could get some attention. Some of you young guys have probably had thoughts like this. I'm going to try to be the funniest guy in the room so that I can get some laughs and have some people around me. I won't be alone. As you were probably packing for your trip. Probably the guys barely packed, but if you were packing for the trip, you may have wondered, man, do I go with the cowboy boot look? Do I do the Western look that kind of seems to be really in vogue in our circles? Do I do the cowboy boots, or do I go with more of the athletic look? You know, the guys that kind of have that fake limp, you know, that they walk around with their shoes and everything and kind of hold their shorts like this, and I'm not sure how that's cool, but anyway, so maybe you were debating, do I do the Western look, or do I do the athletic look? And then some of you probably thought, I'm going to be the different look, right? Like, I'm going to do the look that nobody's like me so that I can get the attention of, wow, she's different. We're weird, aren't we? Okay? We are a bit weird. We all are. We'll also all confess it. Why? Because we want to, how do I fit in? Where do I belong? What makes me important? What makes me valuable? And the reason that we do that is because it gives us to belong, gives us a sense of security, doesn't it? God intended that. Like in a healthy family, there's a sense of security there that is intended. To be a member of a church is a blessing. It's a sense of security. But we look, and socially, God has made us social beings. So it is great to feel like you belong. Like if all of these preachers were like, say, don't talk to Timothy, I'd be like, man, I feel kind of, what do I do? Where do I? I'll go to the stokehold stand again. To belong, it does give us a sense of security. I identify as. We all know that's all the rage, isn't it? But really, in some shape or form, there's always been an identity struggle. There always has been. I remember really striking me when I went to India several times years ago. And I remember people would come up to me at church and like just introduce themselves for the first time. And it was something like this. It's like, hi, I am Kumar, and I'm an engineering student. There's one older man, I can't remember his name, we'll call him Santosh, that's like a male name. I am Santosh, and I am a retired postmaster. Like, I'm not really okay, how does this? And as you learn the culture a little bit, you figure out status is very important. Poverty is a big deal, and so if you had a retired government job, that's pretty good. If you're an engineering student, that you have some good chances there. But part of the whole thought behind that is you've got to know something about me that's really important about me. I do not take out the trash. I don't work at a restaurant. It's a menial job. I'm a retired postmaster. I'm important. This gives me a sense of worth and value and significance. Maybe, you know, some of us here were thinking things like, well, I'm a football player. I'm tough. I'm strong. Some of you young ladies may think, I have a great singing voice. Everyone tells me, and that makes me feel good when they tell me, because that means I've got something. I've got something that's working for me, that makes me valuable, that makes me important. Somebody might say, I'm not very athletic, but I'm a great student, and I get awards, and I got a great ACT score, and I'm smarter than that person, and that makes me, I've got something. I've got something working for me, got something in my favor. Some of you, I've got a cool car, right? I got a cool car. That makes me valuable. That makes me important. I've got something going for me. I can play a musical instrument. I'm good at sports. All, you know, 100 things that we could think about. Here's one. I've got a girlfriend. I've got a boyfriend. I've got status now. I've got status. It's understandable. I don't say all that, by the way, to mock you. Please don't. Please do not. Because 41-year-olds have the same kind of issues with, you know, different things. This is the human struggle. Where do I fit in? What gives me worth? How do I belong? Do I belong? So those are kind of the positives, we might say. You know, I've got a cool car. I've got good grades. I'm athletic. All that. Let me just say this. Praise God. If you're athletic, enjoy it for God's glory. Look, if you're on the football team, go give it everything you've got. Okay? If you have a great voice, use it well for God's glory. Do. The gifts that God gives you, the blessings that He gives you, use those for the glory of God. But listen, you do not find your ultimate worth and value in those things. Do not. Because the cool car will become uncool one day. And the next one may not be as cool. They're fleeting things. So that's kind of on what we call the positive side. On the negative side, you might be tempted to go into despair because you're like, I'm clumsy and awkward. I'm embarrassed to sing because what comes out doesn't sound very good. You might say I'm overweight. A lot of these people here, they've got great family lives and they're dad loves them, and their mom's real sweet, and their siblings, they all get along, and my house is not a place of rest. It's not a place of calm. It's not a place of security and of love, and so I don't have that going for me. It might seem, you know, less important. It is less important, but like we talked about earlier, seriously, you might say, I don't have a phone. I'm lacking. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have as beautiful hair as she has. Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? So I want you to know that this is not a message tonight that says, if you're not a good football player, hey, man, you really are a great football player. No, you're not, okay? It's not a message that says, hey, just lie to yourself. Like they say, you know, go to the mirror every morning and say to yourself five times, I am amazing, I am beautiful, I am strong. You know, that's not the answer. Just repeat it enough times. You will not become strong by saying it over and over again. It's not a message that says that. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus says these words. He says, take heed, be on your guard, be careful, and beware of covetousness. And then listen to what he says. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Take heed, be careful, be on your guard about covetousness, he says, because your life doesn't consist in what you have. In other words, your worth and your value and your identity and what you've really got going for you doesn't ultimately depend on what you have or what you don't have. What ultimately matters is if you have the one who was speaking, right? Is if you have the Lord Jesus Christ and he has you. That's the most important thing about you. So if you seek to find your ultimate worth and meaning and belonging and acceptance and all the positives that I mentioned, well, thank the Lord if you have and enjoy those positives, but again, they're all fleeting. They may not always be there. They may not last. And then if you're one of the group, you feel like you have more of the negatives that I mentioned, you don't have to despair because there's something and someone greater and better and more durable and more lasting that if you have him, you're all set. You really are all set. So let's look in this passage in Ephesians chapter 1 that Brother Daniel has already read for us. Let me just read some of these verses again. Let me just tell you that if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if God has called you by his grace to himself, these are the most important things about you. These are the most important things about you. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, say the word with me, accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. So would you write this down if you're taking notes? Believer, you, number one, you must see yourself as God sees you and what he has done for you. You must see yourself as God sees you and what he has done for you. These, the things I just read, believer, are the most important things about you. These are the things that are your ultimate identity. These are the things that give you an ultimate sense of security and belonging. And belonging. And all these blessings are found and stored up in Christ, he says. He makes a big deal about that in verse 3 and through all of it. You're chosen. All the blessings are in Christ. They're secure in him. God has chosen you in Christ because of the work of Christ, and through that work, he's predestined you to adoption. And in Christ, he's the beloved. In verse 6, God has made you accepted in the beloved. Verse 7 goes on to say that in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So all these rich, abundant blessings are found in Christ. These are the most important things about you. So you must see yourself as God sees you and what he has done for you. Number 2, get this one. God chose you. You let that sink in for a minute. I'm going to say there's three words, three different ways, okay? God chose you.
God chose you.
You may not be accepted by everybody in the world. Listen, Christians, we won't be accepted by everybody in the world. But God, the Almighty, the Holy One, the Creator, the one whose opinion matters more than anyone else's, God chose you. Second way, God chose you. He really did. God chose you. He picked you. He selected you. And this one blows me away. God chose you. God chose you. Me? You might say. Even the clumsy, awkward me. Sometimes I don't know how to start a conversation. Embarrassed myself three times today. God chose me? That's astounding, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Right? That gives me an ultimate sense of security. God chose me. God knows more about me than y'all know about me. God knows all of my embarrassments. Y'all only know a few. God chose you, believer. And that's the most important thing about you. That's part of your identity. Let me tell you, even if you have all the negatives that I mentioned, you got a lot going for you if God chose you. If God chose you, you have a lot going for you. That's part of your identity. You're not missing out because you're in Christ and you have all of these rich blessings that God has given to you. Next, God has and had glorious purposes to make you holy and blameless. God had and has, it's continuing this, he's going to see it through to the end, had glorious purposes to make you holy and blameless. That's part of the God chose you and God predestined you. God, before time, God ordained that this would be the case. So God had glorious purposes. I mean, God thought about you. God had plans for you, glorious plans. He chose us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame, holy and blameless before Him in love. So listen, I don't say this trivially, but it is very, very true. Even worse than not being as beautiful, ladies, as that girl over there, right? Even worse than that. Even worse than feeling like I will never get the attention from a guy. I mean, all the other girls do. So like, nobody has interest in me. And I don't make light of that. Those are real hard things to work through. Even worse than all the negatives I mentioned earlier. Even worse than all those things. Listen. Is to be condemned before God. That's worse. That's worse. Sometimes you might look on, you know, out in the world, friend you know, or social media, somebody you don't know, and say, man, their life is just one thrill after another. My life seems so dull, so bland. Maybe I'm really missing out. Remember, there's something worse than missing out according to the world's definition. It would be far worse than to be found before God with guilt and condemned. But God in His love for His people has chosen us, has had glorious purposes for us, that we would be found before Him. That means before His face, right in front of Him is what that means. Right in front of God. And be found holy and have no blemishes and no spots. How could that be? Because of the work of Jesus. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, that God would see people like you and people like me as being clean and righteous and white as snow and not having any guilt. And that's our position right now as believers. And God's going to see that through to the end, that one day we'll be practically all the way before God with no fault, with no stain, with no blemish. And God thought that up about you. So you belong. That's part of what it means to be accepted in the beloved. To be accepted in the beloved. You've got something going for you. That's part of your identity, believer, is that you're holy and blameless before God in Christ. Don't just skirt over that. That's part of your identity. That's one of the most important things about you, is that before God in Christ, you're holy and blameless. That will set you up and me up on a secure way of living, won't it? Because then I'm secure to confess my sins to God, because I know I'm already accepted in Him. Then I'm secure to not have to be constantly, to be a slave to the approval of others. What will he say? What will she think? I've got to make sure that I'm all keeping everybody happy so I can be accepted. But if I can see that God has accepted me in Christ as being holy and blameless, and that in Christ God is And I just say it, God's thrilled with me. I don't mean like that we're amazing. In Christ, God's thrilled with me. We're accepted with Him. So that frees me up to genuinely love people and serve people. I don't have to be trying to manipulate and gain everybody's approval in some unhealthy way. Holy and blameless before God. That's part of your identity. You're pretty well off, I would say. God chose us. God has had glorious purposes to make us holy and blameless. Here's another one, another way to say really the same thing. But God made unstoppable plans. I love that. God made unstoppable plans for your true good and welfare for time and for eternity. Now that's a mouthful, so I'll say it again. God made unstoppable plans for your true good and welfare for time and for eternity. He says in verse 5 that He predestined us unto the adoption of children by or through Jesus Christ. This means that God marked it out. He set it out before the world began, before He made the sun and the moon and the stars, before He made the trees, before He made us, that God had a people in mind who He knew would sin against Him and be rebels against Him. And God ordained, He predestined, these will be My children. These will be accepted with Me. I will see to their true good and their ultimate welfare. You belong. Believer, you belong. Because God had these awesome, and nothing can stop that, okay? Nothing can stop God's plans to adopt His people into His family, to make them holy and clean, to make them completely accepted in His Son. Not even Trump and Kamala, right? They can't even stop it. Nobody can stop it. God's unstoppable plans. So you're pretty well off. You've got something going for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. God purposed to adopt us into His family. That's pretty amazing. You know what that means? That means that God is a relationship God. God's a relationship God. God relates to people. God relates to His children as a father. As a father. So God's not just this cosmic, divine being who you... Is He around? What does He do? What's He like? I'm kind of scared of Him. God relates to His people. Like we just heard preached, God sends His Spirit into the hearts of His people. One verse says, crying, Abba, Father. That's like this very familiar language that God makes Himself familiar to us. That God draws out faith in us where we love Him and we want to be with Him and we're thankful to Him and we recognize we need Him and we find security in His love. We find security in His love. There's no more secure place than the love of God. No more secure place. Young people, you know what? This world is full of insecurity. It's full of insecurity. Insecurity of every way. But if God has loved you and God has predestined you to adoption and He's brought you to receive, He's given that to you, that gift where you yourself consciously possess that and enjoy that and delight in that, you have a security the world knows nothing of. And so now you're free to pour out your complaints to God and your burdens and your confessions and your guilt and your wars with sin. And you can cast your cares on Him, saying, God, I feel like I don't belong in the crowd and I'm not really sure how to relate to people. Would You help me? Would You teach me? Teach me how to love like You love, Lord. And Lord, I do wish I had some other things going for me, but help me to trust those things to You. And you and I can talk to God that way. Isn't that wonderful? That we can really be real with Him and pour out our hearts to Him because He's a Father who loves His children and there's security in His love. And all this is based not on how great we are, not on us standing in front of the mirror and saying, I'm great, I'm amazing, I'm strong. No, it's just based upon God's goodness and kind love to us. Nothing else. Nothing that we did or that we earned or that we impressed God or anything like that. Goes on to say, I'm going to skip verse 6 and come back to it. Verse 7 says that in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So if you're tracking, listen, you must see yourself, believer, as God sees you and what He's done for you. God has chosen you. That's part of your identity. God has made you holy and blameless in Christ. That's part of your identity. That's one of the most important things about you. God has made these unstoppable plans for your welfare, both for now and for eternity. God's adopted you. You're a child of God. That's part of your identity. You belong. And then it says here that in Christ we have redemption through his blood the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So redemption, this is the idea of Christ paying a price to rescue slaves from slavery. God paying a price, Christ paying a price, his own blood, to rescue a people from their guilt and from the wrath of God and from their own slavery to sin. You know what else it means? Here's part of your identity. It means that you are the beloved property of Jesus. The beloved property of Jesus. Here's things we need to tell ourselves when we're trying to figure out, where do I fit? Where do I belong? Where's my identity? What's my ultimate worth and value? Here's one thing we need to tell ourselves again and again and again. Self, I don't belong to you. You can talk to yourself that way. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to sin. I don't belong to Satan. I belong to Jesus. He bought me. Corinthians says that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, you glorify God. It's both freeing, and it also focuses the mind on our mission, doesn't it? Isn't that good to know? You are not a slave to your vice, whatever your vice is. You're not a slave to that. You don't belong to that. You don't belong to this world. It's very important for us. We don't belong to ourselves. We're the personal, beloved property of Jesus. So all of that is coming in verse 6. This is like the culmination of it in some ways of this passage. But we've really said the same thing in many ways. But here it is. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That expression means, it can mean highly favored. So believer, God has highly favored you in the beloved, in Jesus Christ. It can mean, this is bad grammar I think, but it can mean much graced. So God has much graced you in Jesus. It means to surround with favor or surround with love. So if you know your sins at all, it almost seems like, I'm not sure. This sounds going to be true. If you know your guilt at all, God in Christ surrounds you. It's like a cloud. He surrounds you with favor. He surrounds you with grace in Jesus Christ. So much of our heartache is things like this. Do they accept me? Am I okay? Like with the group? Am I in or am I out? Do they accept me? And like I said, not all of that is bad. Like, we're told to receive fellow believers. There's a human element, a social element that's important of receiving and rejecting. But when we begin to overanalyze what everybody thinks about us, and we begin to make huge decisions based upon gaining or keeping someone's approval, or we're willing to sin and break God's commands to gain somebody's favor, or out of fear of losing their favor, then we've lost sight of the reality that the acceptance that matters most is being accepted with God in Jesus Christ. See, to try to live in a way that is just gaining the approval of others or maintaining and keeping their approval is a form of slavery. It's a form of slavery. But there is freedom found in knowing and resting in and being reminded of again and again, in Christ, I'm accepted with God. In the beloved, in Jesus, God's beloved Son. So, believer, God does not see you just in yourself. God sees you in Christ, and that's the most important thing about you. Amen. And that will last. That's a positive that lasts. The cool car may or may not, but that one will last in Christ Jesus. An old writer, Matthew Poole, says, we are hateful in ourselves as sinners. We know that. But we're accepted in Christ as sons of God, sons of God. One thing I did, I think it started one time with one of my sons. I've done it with the boys. Please don't hate on me. I do love my girls, and I tell them every night good night, and that I love them, okay? So I don't completely leave out the girls. It just started actually one day when the girls were older. One of the boys was really, really bad, okay? He'd been really bad that day, and I got on him really, really hard. And I'm like, man, I probably need to let him know he's, you know, still my son. And so I started this thing with the boys. We don't do it all the time, but pretty frequently I'll put into bed and I said, hey, I said, I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad you're my son. So now the boys, we have a little thing now. I'll say, I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad you're my dad. So, all right, good deal. Glad they're glad. Good. God is glad that we're his sons. God did not make, he didn't say, man, I made a mistake. Oh boy, oh, why did I pick Andrew Huffman? Why did I do that? God is glad. God is glad, believer, that you're his daughter and you're his son. Even though you still do, and I still do, sin sometimes because we want to get somebody else's approval or favor. God's going to discipline us and all the rest, but he says, I'm glad you're my son. I didn't make a mistake. I'm glad you're my daughter. Because in Christ, I've cleaned you up once and for all, and I'm going to keep cleaning you up on a practical level day after day after day. God is glad that we're his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. There is freedom there. Isn't that wonderful to know? You belong. You belong. God has made you accepted in the beloved. You're really not missing out in Christ Jesus. No, you're not missing. The world is missing out. Those outside of Christ, they're missing out. But in Christ, there's abundant riches and treasures that will last this life and the one to come. The one to come. And so what this does, again, this frees us up to have a meaningful relationship with God. Not a relationship based upon, does he love me today? And a meaningful relationship with others. Again, to where we're not slaves to someone's approval. Where we're not, and listen, don't let people manipulate you, young people, okay? Don't let people manipulate you. If you really want to be my friend, right? They don't own you, okay? They don't own you. Christ owns you. And you might lose a friend, or you might get some nasty looks or some gossip comments behind your back and all the rest. And that'll hurt, and that'll be hard, and that'll be difficult, but the Lord will get you through it, and he'll be with you all the way. And if you got to lose fellowship with him or them, lose them, okay? Don't be manipulated. Because in Christ you have security. Now, let me just close with this, that this passage also highlights things like this, okay? So the whole point of the message is remember who that you are, accepted in the beloved. But also, I want to close with this, and we won't spend much time on it, but remember why God has made you who you are. Remember why that God has made you who you are in Christ. Here's what it says in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And then skipping down to verse 12, he's recounted more of these great gifts of salvation, and he says that purpose statement, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So here's a little secret. It's really not about you anyway, or me. It's about the glory of God. And when we focus on that, we realize it's not a me-centered world. Like Isaac preached today about this, you know, the God of the self. It's not a self-centered world. It's a God-centered world. And salvation's God-centered. And our existence for all eternity will be God-centered for his glory. And that frees us up to not be consumed with self and consumed with what do I have today? What are my positives? What are my negatives? But God is glorified in making me his own, in making me accepted with him, and to let me focus on the mission like we heard today of living for the glory of God and not walking in the emptiness and vanity of this life. Because it's not ultimately about me. It's about the glory of this God. Who would love like that? People that are rebels and have spat in God's face and rejected his authority and all the rest. And God would say, I'm going to clean them up. I'm accepting them in my son, and I don't regret it. Tonight, I want you to know, Christian young person, I want you to know that you belong. You belong in the group that matters most. You belong in the group that will last forever. You're secure in God's love. You're secure in God's love. So all those positives and negatives that I mentioned at the beginning, I get it. It's part of life. But those things are going to come and go. The thrills of life will come and go. All those things will come and go. But this stuff is what matters the most. And this stuff right here is what gives ultimate security and meaning and identity. Ultimate security and meaning and identity. And I hope that you're reminded and you freshly rejoice in this. And I hope that some of you have said, man, maybe I'm missing out. Tell me more about this. God, teach me more of this. May God bless you.